We take one final look at the matchup between the Buccaneers and the Saints for control of the NFC South in New Orleans' home opener this weekend. Let's go.
You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, and welcome to the Locked On Bucs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We are your daily podcast covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, free and available on all platforms, including YouTube and the new 10 Tampa Bay Plus app, available on Roku and Amazon Fire Stick. We thank you for making us your first listen or view of the day. I am James Yarko, reunited with my co-host David Harrison. You can check out all of his written work over at Sports Illustrated's BucksGameDay.com. Check out mine at SB Nation's BucksNation.com. And of course, follow along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JYarko_Bucks, and at DHarrison82.
And this live episode of Locked On Bucs podcast brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. We thank you again, Bucs fans, for making us your first listen or your first view of the day. Our score predictions are coming up at the end of this episode. You're probably going to be happy with one of us, and you're probably going to be very unhappy with me. So drop your score predictions in the comments. We'll read some of those and post as many of those as we can as we go through it. But first, let's catch up on the latest injury updates coming from Thursday. On Wednesday, the top five Buccaneers receivers were all on the injury report and either limited or did not participate in practice. And I know Todd Bowles said, other than Chris Godwin, he really wasn't worried about it. But James, I was worried about it. I think Evan Klosky was worried about it. You're worried about it. A lot of Bucs fans are worried about it. Well, on Thursday, three Buccaneers were upgraded on that day's practice report, with one big player actually being downgraded from limited on Wednesday to DNP, which means did not participate, again coming on Thursday, and that is wide receiver Mike Evans. Wide receiver Chris Godwin also not participating. Wide receiver Julio Jones also not participating. And offensive tackle Diamond Smith not participating. No big deal. Your top three receivers and your starting left tackle not participating in practice on Thursday. Limited running back Leonard Fournette for the second day in a row. Wide receiver Russell Gage, cornerback Zion McCollum, wide receiver Breshad Perriman, offensive tackle Tristan Wirfs, full participant quarterback Tom Brady, who returned after getting a day of rest on Wednesday. So with Evans downgraded to being a DNP, not participating on Thursday, the Bucs starting receiver group projects right now, James, to be Russell Gage and Breshad Perriman as your number one and number two receivers. Not great. While rookie Zion McCollum's upgrade to limited is absolutely a positive sign, especially going up against a Saints team that has substantially more weapons than the Dallas Cowboys, and substantially more weapons, honestly, than the last time these two teams met. Tampa Bay is going to have to hope for better news on Friday regarding their own offensive contributors. James, what are your thoughts on Thursday's injury report?
I am very confident when I say that Russell Gage and Breshad Perriman are not going to be the number one and number two wide receivers on the field Sunday. I realize that Mike Evans being downgraded is not exactly ideal. Julio Jones not practicing is not exactly ideal. I still fully expect both of those guys to play and to be effective when they do, as effective as they can be. You know, we talked about it earlier in the week. We kind of have earmarked the Kansas City Chiefs game as when we expect Chris Godwin to be back. Mm-hmm. And look, when you're dealing with a calf, you're dealing with a knee, dealing with the soreness, it's two, you know, Pro Bowl, all pro caliber receivers, both of which should end up in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. When it comes time for the game on Sunday, they will be ready to go. They will be ready to play. Honestly, I'm more concerned about Donovan Smith mm-hmm. than I am the receiver group.
Absolutely. I mean,
yeah, go ahead.
No, I feel like the wide receivers, especially as veterans, right? And there was conversations about this. There were questions asked to the coordinators and all that on Thursday about these veteran wide receivers missing practice time. And basically the gist of it is these are veteran guys. These are guys who've been in the league for a long time for a reason, right? Mike Evans is an NFL career holder for starting a career with 1,000-yard receiving seasons back to back to back to back to back to back. I think got enough for a reason. He's a guy like you can miss some practices if you're Mike Evans, if you're Julio Jones, and you'll probably be okay as long as it's we're just missing practice to make sure that the injury doesn't get worse and that these guys get some rest. But yeah, the Donovan Smith injury is absolutely much more concerning for the New Orleans Saints. On the other side of this matchup, running back Alvin Kamara was also downgraded from limited on Wednesday to a non-participant on Thursday, while safety Marcus May and guard Calvin Throckmorton were both upgraded to full participants after being limited on Wednesday. So James, which one is more impactful, I suppose, in this game? Is Mike Evans missing this game potentially? Which, again, we're kind of getting into a catastrophizing type of situation if we talk about Mike missing. But just anytime you have a star player on the injury report, I don't think you want to discount completely. We're confident. Alvin Kamara, Ross Jackson, that he's pretty confident. But if either of these guys, let's say they come in banged up, which one of these is the bigger loss for their respective side when it comes to Mike Evans, Alvin Kamara, or if they're degraded on Sunday?
I think, honestly, Mike Evans is the bigger impact if he were to miss over Alvin Kamara. And that is not to diminish what Alvin Kamara brings to the New Orleans Saints. He is one of the best running backs in the National Football League, both in terms of running the ball, as well as being such a massive factor in the pass game. However, the loss of Mike Evans on Sunday would piggyback off of the loss of Chris Godwin. So now you're missing your top two receivers. And I think that is a bigger impact than the Saints missing out on Alvin Kamara. Now, I know Mark Ingram is banged up and they just called up a running back from their practice squad and it was Latavius Murray. So, you know, those guys can still contribute in the run game. They can still contribute into the passing game. The loss of Mike Evans putting the entire focal point of the secondary of New Orleans on shutting down Julio Jones and making you beat them with Breshad Perriman and Scotty Miller and Russell Gage and Jalen Darden, I think is a far larger impact on what the Buccaneers are able to do offensively versus the loss of Kamara for the New Orleans Saints and still having all of those other weapons, both in the backfield and then, of course, their wide receiver group, which is extremely talented. So, you know, we'll continue to talk about things that we are concerned about. And, of course, we're also going to get into some things that we are confident about coming up in just a moment. But first, Turo, T-U-R-O, is the world's largest car sharing marketplace. With Turo, you can book any car you want, wherever you want it, from a community of local hosts. Browse a huge selection of vehicles for just about any occasion or budget across the U.S., Canada, and the U.K. You can book a spacious SUV or a minivan for a family road trip. I have my eye on getting something with some four-wheel drive for a trip that I have to take to Ann Arbor, Michigan at the beginning of next year. The land of potholes. Every road is nothing but potholes in Ann Arbor. Give me that four-wheel drive. I'm going to be hitting up Turo for that. But, of course, if you want a nice night out on the town, maybe you go for a classic or a luxury. You know, take the wife out, you know, have a nice evening. You want to show up in style. You can find affordable economy cars if you're on a budget, if you just need to get from A to B. You can test drive the new electric vehicle that you've had your eye on, how it fits into your everyday life. Many Turo hosts can even deliver the car right to you. Every trip is backed by liability insurance. Terms, conditions, and exclusions do apply. So ditch boring rental cars and find your drive at Turo.com.
Thanks again for making the Locked On Bucks podcast your first listener, your first view every single day. James, you know what I'm renting or Turoing if I go to Ann Arbor, or if I have, I'm supposed to go to Ann Arbor?
A tank.
A big old Chevy. Nope.
I don't get to choose where these hockey tournaments are. I just show up where I'm told.
All right. Our bowl predictions and players of the game are coming up in segment three. So if you have your own, or if you have a score prediction for us, drop it in the comment section. Thanks again to all of you joining us here live Thursday nights. We appreciate all of you. Of course, those of you listening after we're live and watching after we're live as well, we greatly appreciate you as well. But right now, we're going to talk about some things that we appreciate and some things that we don't necessarily appreciate. And that is our confidence and our concern pertaining to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as they head into this NFC South clash in New Orleans on Sunday afternoon. James, let's kick it over to you. Let's start with a good. What is your biggest confidence about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers entering this contest?
My biggest confidence is that this Buccaneers defense is going to continue to play at an elite level. Shades of the 2020 playoff defense that we saw lift them to a Super Bowl championship. And look, they were the only defense in the NFL in week one to not allow a touchdown. Say all you want about the weapons for the Dallas Cowboys. They still have CeeDee Lamb. They still have Dalton Schultz. They still have Ezekiel Elliott. They still have Tony Pollard. And up until the very end of the game, they had Dak Prescott on the field. This team still did not allow a touchdown. In the Todd Bowles era for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense, when they get zero takeaways, they're 1-5. One takeaway, they're 12-8. Two takeaways, 11-5. Three or more, they are an undefeated 8-0. So this defense did a phenomenal job of cutting off passing routes, being opportunistic to get to the ball. Shout out Antoine Winfield Jr. and Carlton Davis, who was right behind him and could have also picked off the ball. And they were opportunistic in getting to Dak Prescott and forcing him to make mistakes. I expect more of the same on Sunday against Jameis Winston. We've seen what happens when Winston gets a little bit flustered, when the pressure is getting in his face. You can coax him into some mistakes, and this defense is so good front to back, side to side, that they can be opportunistic enough to take the ball away and create opportunities for themselves or for the offense to put points on the board.
Front to back, side to side, name of a classic 80s hit, I'm sure, somewhere. Love the stat line, by the way. I'm actually more impressed to learn, because I didn't know the stat coming into it. I saw your weird numbers. I didn't know what they meant, actually.
I didn't want you to know. I wanted it to be a surprise.
More impressed that this team under Todd Bowles has had more games with three takeaways than with zero takeaways. Like, that's pretty impressive. So good stuff there. My biggest confidence in this game, James, is coming from Louisiana Lenny. Because I'm confident that Leonard Fournette will be able to eat against the Saints rushing defense, despite all the stuff that I laid out during the crossover episode with Ross Jackson, host of Locked On Saints podcast, about Leonard Fournette's NFL history against the New Orleans Saints. Just not very good. No 100-yard rushing games, no touchdowns at all scored. The man literally has more pass attempts against the Saints defense than he has scores. That's just kind of a crazy statistic. But again, there's a huge grain of salt with that, right? A lot of those games, he's got single-digit touches, stuff like that. So there's a big grain of salt to be taken. Those days are behind us. Leonard Fournette is the focal point of this rushing attack. Rashad White is going to get his touches. Giovanni Bernard, I'm sure somewhere he's going to come along. And we may even see some Keyshawn Vaughn. When you look at last week, the Atlanta Falcons opened up the season against the New Orleans Saints. Cordarrelle Patterson, who is not the running back that Leonard Fournette is, 22 carries, 120 yards, and a touchdown. The entire Falcons offense, 38 carries, 201 yards, and two touchdowns. Now, granted, Tom Brady's no Marcus Mariota when it comes to rushing. Everybody calm down about the Marcus Mariota-Tom Brady comp. I'm just talking about running. I'm not talking about everything else in totality, okay? But the bottom line is, what the Atlanta Falcons showed is that there is a way to run the ball against New Orleans Saints defense. The Buccaneers need to watch that film, tap into a little bit of that. Ride Louisiana Lenny as long as they can and let him go out there and show that he is the guy to help get the job done finally in the regular season here against the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, and you nailed it 100%. That was, you know, for the Locked On Network, my key to victory for the Buccaneers is, of course, relying on Louisiana Lenny. Spoiler alert, I'll be on the Blitz on 10 Tampa Bay Sunday morning for their pregame show. I might be talking a little bit more about Louisiana Lenny. So I absolutely love that selection, and it's going to be vital for the Buccaneers to be committed to the run game against the Saints as they were against the Dallas Cowboys. But David, let's flip it over to the bad. And let's talk about what really concerns us about this matchup against a team that the Bucs have lost seven straight regular season games. Facing this team, you haven't won in their stadium since 2018. We can go in the regular season. I know they won the playoff game. I'm fully aware. But let's talk about what worries us a little bit.
Yeah, not good, Bob. So going back to the injury report, right? Donovan Smith is a concern. And when Donovan Smith is a concern, then Josh Wells is a concern. And when Josh Wells is a concern, Marcus Davenport is my concern for this game going up against Tampa Bay's left tackle. Listen, we've already heard, right, the Donovan Smith situation is more of a pain tolerance type of situation. And Donovan Smith, I'm not going to question that man's toughness for anything, given how many snaps he's played and how many he's missed in comparison and all those things. It's a tough thing to do as an offensive lineman in this game. But if there's any type of compromise here with Donovan Smith, or if Donovan just can't go and Josh Wells is the guy in there, then Marcus Davenport is exactly the kind of guy that could turn that into a real big problem in this game. Look, Davenport only played 45% defensive snaps last week. Now, that was a little bit of a surprise to me. We've had so much fun on the crossover and never really got to get to Ross Jackson to ask if that was a surprise to him. But it was certainly a surprise to me. Only had two tackles against Falcons. So a lot of people probably going, why are you worried about this guy, Marcus Davenport? Well, all of his snaps came on the right side of the line. So even if he's only playing 45% of the snaps, they're all coming on the right side of the defensive line, which is the left side of the Bucs offensive line. And you've already got Cam Jordan on the other side. Listen, seven games in his career against Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Marcus Davenport has three sacks, which you may not be totally impressed with. But again, go back to my Buccaneers sack number in the same similar type of stretch. And, you know, Marcus Davenport is almost on the same pace as the entire Buccaneers defense in this series. So he's exactly the kind of guy we're going to talk about all these other names. And Marcus Davenport's the guy that wants to make sure that when we leave the game, everybody's talking about him. And if it's Josh Wells, who played 39 snaps at left tackle and replacing or in relief for Donovan Smith against the Dallas Cowboys, I am very concerned about Marcus Davenport. If it's Donovan early on, I'm just really gonna be watching that arm and be like, is he favoring it all? Does it look compromised at all? You know, for the first couple of series, if it looks good after that, then I'll take my eyes elsewhere. But either way, Marcus Davenport concerns me in this game.
Yeah, I certainly understand why. You think maybe they have Gronk's elbow brace laying around that they can let Donovan borrow for this game? I mean, just a thought, just an idea. Yeah, I fully expect, even if Donovan Smith goes, whether it's Donovan, whether it's Josh Wells, I fully expect there to be a Cade Otton or a Co-Keeft lined up on the left side of the line all day long, absolutely all day long, and give some help to that left side and try to keep Tom Brady upright and give him some time to get the ball out of his hand. Speaking of Gronk, my biggest concern is the lack of reliability at the tight end position. We saw it was something that Evan and I talked about on Wednesday's episode. If you haven't seen that, I recommend you go back and you check that out. But you saw how much the Buccaneers stalled. Once they got inside, you know, the Cowboys 30, they got into the red zone, and it seemed like Brady didn't have that go-to guy to either extend the drive or to look for in the end zone. He was missing Gronk. You brought Kyle Rudolph onto this team to be a pass-catching tight end, and he was a game day inactive, and Todd Bowles said it was because Cade Otton and Co-Keeft bring, you know, help on special teams, and that's not something Kyle Rudolph does. Well, the tight end group as a whole against the Dallas Cowboys had three targets that resulted in one reception for 7 yards, and all three of those targets went to Cameron Bray. So either use Kyle Rudolph or let him go and bring in somebody else that can help this offense, because he's not going to do you any favors. He is this enormous pass-catching red zone, end zone threat who has one of the highest quarterback ratings when targeted in the last 10 years at the tight end position. You need to use him because Brady needs an outlet, especially with the issues you have at wide receiver. You need someone else that he can rely on to throw the ball to. That entire thing worries me. It's going to stall drives. It's going to stall drives. It's going to destroy opportunities for this football team if they can't get a safety valve at the tight end position. So, David, we are going to talk a little bit more about our score predictions. We're going to talk about our viewer score predictions. If they're dropping those in the live YouTube chat, we're going to talk about some of these wagers that, some of these lines that are floating out there for this game. Thanks to our friends over at betonline.net, your number one source for all pro and college football betting needs and sports info this season. Find all the latest football league developments, game matchups, news, and podcasts, including this week's NFL games. BetOnline is also your continued source for all of your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. The fastest and easiest way to check in on all of your favorite sports and events, including the MLB, MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Wrapping things up here on a live edition of the Locked On Bucks podcast. And David, it's time for predictions. We're going to start with our bolds, then we're going to talk about players, then we're going to talk about our score predictions, and we're going to get into some prop bets. But let's kick things off with the bold predictions. And shout out to my dude Dan Richmond in the chat. He says the Bucks D will be the difference. Dan, I agree with you wholeheartedly, because my bold prediction is the defense is getting two touchdowns, two of them, not one, two touchdowns for this defensive unit against the New Orleans Saints. Jameis Winston looked fantastic in his first game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last year before injuring his knee. But we all know that you can only keep Jameis out of his own way for so long before something happens. I expect this defensive line and the edge to get pressure on him, force him into some mistakes, whether it's a strip sack, whether it's a pick six, the defense is going to score in this one.
I certainly hope so, because that would go a long way to having the Buccaneers get their first regular season win against the Saints in way, way, way too long. My bold prediction is similarly based on scoring, but it's the more conventional way, the traditional way. After not scoring a touchdown forever against the Dallas Cowboys, the Buccaneers are going to score touchdowns, James, against the New Orleans Saints, and they're going to do so on every single possession in the first half. I'd love to go the whole game, but I kind of feel like the hot dog salesman and the other guys where it's like free hot dogs for life but no drinks. Look, we're going to go touchdowns on every possession in the first half. But the second half, they might have a couple of field goals, or they'll just run the clock out a little bit, whatever it is. But the Buccaneers are going to score touchdowns on every possession in the first half, which last weekend was five or six possessions in the first half they had against the Dallas Cowboys. May only be like four in this one because of my Leonard Fournette's confidence is there. You know, that's going to help bleed the clock a little bit faster. But speaking of the run game, speaking of your tight end need, my player of the game that I'm watching, you know, I like to go a little bit different on my key players of the game. I don't necessarily hit the stat box. I'm looking for guys that can make a very big impact on the game. I'm looking at rookie tight end Coach Kieft. He was asked, his coach was asked today about him being a fullback, and basically said, like, calling him a fullback is not fair because he's so much more capable of doing other things. Look, he had a pretty good PFF score. I know not everybody loves PFF scores, but a pretty good one in the high 60s range. Pretty much all of his reps were as run blocker against Dallas Cowboys. But like you, I think he's going to have to chip in the pass blocking, maybe in protection, stuff like that, sitting in the backfield. I like what you said about Cade Otton. Actually, the Buccaneers had two of the top three pass-protecting tight ends, rookie tight ends in the NFL in week one, Coach Kieft and or blocking tight ends were not pass-protecting, and Cade Otton was the other one. So Coach Kieft, not for the stat box, right? Now he's not going to have a whole lot of stats, but he is going to be a key player in this game.
Hey, if Davenport comes away with no sacks and we see Kieft on the left side all night.
That's exactly what I'm thinking is happening.
Yeah, that is absolutely a player of the game candidate, because you keep number 12 upright, good things can happen. My predictive player of the game is going to parlay right off of my bold prediction, and that, of course, is another Louisiana guy in Devin White. I think he's going to end up leading this team in tackles for the second consecutive game. I think he will have a hand in at least one if not two of the takeaways. And I do believe that he ends up with one of those two touchdowns that I predicted. So I expect Devin White to be flying all over the place, being in Jameis's face, shadowing Alvin Kamara, creating opportunities for the defense. A big game coming for number 45.
The quarterback in the 0-2 Super Bowl was Brad Johnson, by the way. Moving on to our lines and our props. Absolutely shout out to all of our listeners and viewers. Again, drop your bolts, drop your score predictions in the comments. We'll throw up as many as we can before we get out of here today. But let's go to some lines and props from BetOnline before we get to our final score predictions real quick. And James, the first prop bet I want to talk about, first score of the game. Here are your options. Bucks touchdown, Saints touchdown, Bucks field goal, Saints field goal, Bucks safety, Saints safety. If you want a chance to win $5,000, go put $100 on a Bucks or Saints safety as the first score of this game. And if it happens, you probably should have played the lottery because that's not going to happen. But James, how do the first points get put up on the board Sunday afternoon?
I'm going to take the New Orleans Saints field goal at +350. If the Buccaneers win the toss, they are going to defer, giving New Orleans the first opportunity to go on offense. And just like week one against the Dallas Cowboys, they'll march down the field, kick the field goal, and go up 3-0 after the first drive. So that's the one I would go with, is the +350 field goal for the Saints.
That is a pretty good bet. But of course, if the Saints don't do that and the Bucks hit their hands on the ball before the Saints are able to score, you're looking at a Bucks touchdown at +175.
I'm obviously okay with that outcome. The first penalty, David, our second prop bet here, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or the New Orleans Saints, both sitting at -115. So you're not breaking the bank on this one, but which team is going to draw the yellow laundry first?
I think it's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, man, especially if the Saints start on the field with the ball. I think that Bucs defense is going to be going out there looking to make some plays, looking to prove something. And sometimes you get a little excited, you get a little too motivated, and you hit a guy too late or too early sometimes, or you grab a little bit of jersey. I think the Buccaneers defense probably getting that first flag.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. If I remember correctly, the last game they played in New Orleans, there were Buccaneers wide receivers getting mugged, assaulted, and brutally beaten. And whoops, there were still no flags thrown. I'm going to go with the Bucs, end up with the first flag.
All right, let's get to our score predictions. Buccaneers favored by 2.5 points, which has some people surprised. If you go back to the Crossover Thursday episode, you already know, and I already heard a lot about it already. I've got the Saints winning 31-24. I hate it. I hate to predict it. It just kind of goes off the history. But if you look at all my keys and my bold predictions, I'm trying to counter that energy. I'm trying to counter that energy with those predictions, James, because obviously if the Bucs score touchdowns on every possession of the first half, they're getting more than 24 points, right?
Well, maybe. Or they just have three possessions in the first half.
Wow. I'm trying to counter the energy here, James.
Look, you picked the Saints to win this one. Evan Klosky on Wednesday picked the Saints to win this one. I fought myself really, really hard because I was about to pick the Saints to win this one. But then, I thought about it. I was like, you know what? My bold prediction I already had locked in, that the defense was getting two touchdowns. If the defense is getting two touchdowns, the Buccaneers are winning this game. May not be pretty. They may not get a whole lot of help from their offense, but I got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers finally getting another win in New Orleans, 21-20. It's going to be a nail biter. It's going to be frustrating, but the Bucs are going to emerge 2-0 in this one.
And everybody will take it.
Absolutely. However, I'll kind of lean over to your side a little bit. I'm not going to be surprised if we're talking on Monday's episode about another loss to the New Orleans Saints, because I really was. It was legitimately a coin flip for me.
You know what? Both Lombardis showed you can lose the Saints and still win a Super Bowl. It's okay.
That's absolutely accurate. It was tough to pick the Bucs, but it's even tougher for me personally to pick the Saints to win. So I just talked myself into it. Anyway, that is going to do it for this episode. David, safe travels down to New Orleans. Give Ross all kinds of grief from all of our listeners and viewers over on YouTube. And hopefully you are the one who is walking out with a smile on your face while Ross cries that Mike Evans is the best receiver on the field on Sunday. We want to thank all of you for joining the Locked On Bucks podcast live show on YouTube. And we want to thank all of you that watch later and listen on the podcast feed. Thank you for making us your first listen or view of the day. Now make your second listen, the Peacock and Williamson NFL show. Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson give you the expert NFL analysis in less than 30 minutes. It is free and available wherever you get your podcasts. We will be back on Monday. If you have reactions to the game, anything that happens, of course, you can send us an email to lockedonbuckspodcast@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 813-444-5841. Check out David's work over at bucksgameday.com. Check out mine over at bucksnation.com. Make sure you're following everything on Twitter at lockedonbucks, at @jyarko_bucks, and at dharrison82. Hope you all have an absolutely outstanding weekend. Stay safe, stay healthy, fire those cannons. And we thank you so much for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks.